Good morning.
The Lord spoke. I wrote it down. Remind them that the altar is open. That was 30 minutes ago. Josh just said that. It's real. Technology. Here we go. It works, isn't that great? What really works is what David said in Psalm 34. He said that, you know, I looked to him. They looked to him and their faces were radiant. They had no need to be ashamed. There's no darkness. So driving here this morning, and it wasn't because the sun was bright. I wasn't even thinking about how bright it was, but God just said brightness. Wear the bright green shirt. That's why you get the bright green shirt. Those of you online, good morning and welcome. I believe there's a number of you that are going to be moved and blessed by the message that he's given us. The title of today's message is All for One and One for All. I'm going to start out with just a brief story, a little briefer than last night, but you know, I spent a lot of years being offended and complaining about everything. I'm a chef, so when I go to a restaurant, whew, high standards, okay? So I recently was in a restaurant a couple of weeks ago, and it was not going well, and the clerk was actually being rude to me, and I'm sorry to say that I returned insult for insult. You know, I shot back. I mean, it took about 10 minutes, but eventually I crumbled, and I fell, and I snapped back, and I was driving back up there the next day, and I got hungry again on the road. And I thought, well, I'm not going over there. And God said, yes, you are. And you're going to apologize. Amen. Yes, Father. Okay. So I got reconciled with him. We have to be right with him, or we're not going to be right in any of our relationships. And if we're not right in any, not if there's one relationship that we're not right in, we really can't say that we're hanging out with God. God says if you come to present your offering and you realize your brother has something against you, go and be reconciled. The altar is open. If you need strength and courage to go and do that with someone, yes, strength and courage are available, and support from brothers and sisters are definitely available. But when we do all these religious things and all this service and all these things, and there's relationships that aren't right in our life, large and small, no matter what it is, he wants us to get that taken care of, because he cares about our heart. He wants to be in there, and he can't be in there where there's hatred, and he can't be in there where there's division. So hereby, you know, we bind division and we release unity, and we bind hatred and we release love. That is the message today. We don't make agreement with any of those things from the pit of hell. We don't make agreement with those things. We cancel the assignment in the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't want division. We don't want hatred. We want unity. We want love. We want Jesus. Amen. Okay, have a great day. Here we go. Those who love your law have great peace and nothing offends them. Psalm 119. And verse 165, nothing offends them. Yes, I want to have great peace. Choose peace this day. Choose the Prince of Peace this day. Choose Jesus Christ this day. If you find yourself not at peace, very frequently not at peace, yet that's what he wants. He wants us to be at peace. He showed me something about a verse that he already showed me this morning that I think is really special. And it's the reason that it's the thing that I didn't realize about 15 or 20 years ago. You know, I took part of the verse and I didn't realize the beginning of the verse. His goal is that we are at peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And if we say that we follow him and we're with him, that's what he wants, our joy to be full. Joy is not meant to be a crumb. It's not meant to be experienced once a week. He wants us walking around filled with his Holy Spirit, filled with joy, filled with peace, because that's what people... That's, you know, what's the movement now? The seven laws of attraction. Well, you know what? God is the original attraction, love and peace and justice and instruction. This word right here, law, before we get all excited about, oh, we're under grace, but not the law. You know what? Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law. You know, out of the 613 Mosaic laws, he said there's only two that really matter. There's only two that really matter. We're going to talk about it. But this word law right here in the original language, I'm going to roll up my sleeves already, is when you have to dig in there and go ahead and look at a word meaning. Go ahead and look at it. It means instruction. I want my heart to always be in a place where I want to receive his instruction. I want to be corrected. I want to be chastened. I want to be disciplined. He says, you know, discipline at first is not joyful but sorrowful, but in the end, what does it yield? The peaceful fruit of righteousness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah. That's where I want to be, clean hands and a pure heart. That's, you know, in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence. Not rattling around in my own head, leaning on my own understanding, trying to figure it out. You know, when you're going around and around and around. You know, David says, when my anxious thoughts multiplied within me, thy consolations delighted my soul. Amen. So when you find yourself, so these little offensive, these little irritations and bothers, so we go, it starts with a thought, right? Can't believe that person talked with me that way. And you're kind of we call it processing. God calls it mind idolatry. God says, you're going around and around in your own head. You're lean. It's the definition of anxiety, and it comes from hell. God did not invent anxiety. That sort of thing, you go around and around and around again. And when we go around and around doing and thinking the same things over and over again and expecting a different result, Albert Einstein, I guess he was a smart guy, Albert Einstein calls that insanity. I want no part of insanity. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. We want the sound mind that God offers us. He's the original soundness of mind. Word meaning there is discipline. That's interesting. We have to discipline ourselves not to think about things in a way that's going to cause anybody else pain. You know, with our words, we can build up or we can tear down. We're supposed to admonish each other. So that word admonish is like, whoa, I'm going to admonish you. I'm going to exhort you. We're supposed to admonish each other with spiritual psalms and hymns and songs in our heart to the Lord. That's what brings joy. That's the first slide. Wow. How much time do you have? Those who love your law have great peace and nothing offends them. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. I left it off on purpose. What are the two things? Love God and love people. The young lawyer asked Jesus, how do I do this? How do I get close to you? How do I be part of the kingdom of heaven? How do I get with you, Lord? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. I saw a man in a restaurant with a giant family, 5 kids. They were just radiating joy. They were just radiating the grace of God. And then I saw his hat and it said, love, serve, repeat. And I blessed him and I thanked him and I said, sir, it was last Sunday afternoon. I said, you've made my day. You've lit up this whole restaurant and I know who you're with before I saw your hat. Just wanted to thank him for that courage to put that hat on and to put on the grace of God and his family in a way that blesses other people. How about Charles Spurgeon? Anyone who is alive and escaped hell should have nothing to complain about. Hallelujah. I'm alive. I've escaped hell. I've got nothing to complain about. All those things that come in, you know. Go ahead. Don't watch the news for a week and see how you feel. Go right ahead. I'll show you two guys. I'm going to talk to you about two young men that had nothing to complain about. These two characters here. That's myself on the right. That's Lenny and Bobby. That's my little brother, Bobby. And, you know, little brother and I were out in grandma's yard there, fruit trees. I'm obviously explaining something to him, big surprise, right? And we're out there, and like we could get food. We could go in grandma's yard and get food. It's a great thing. I can go out there. There was berries, there was grapes, there was chestnuts. Didn't know what to do with those. Dad threw them in the oven, and they popped, and that was fun. It didn't taste that good, though. So here we are playing around the yard. So, you know, these two characters right here had one purpose in life. We had one thing that we were always focused on. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Our one purpose is aligned with God, and that's that none should perish, but all should be saved. Saved, healed, and delivered. Sozo. That's what our God is about. The only true and living God. The only God. Capital G. All the others are small g. They're not gods. They're idols. Amen? And we're with the one who wants salvation, healing, and deliverance for all. One purpose. And when we, and the words here, as you translate these out, same mind, one purpose, it's one passion. It's what we're passionate about. It's what excites us. Come on, let's go talk to some, let's invite some people. That's what we're supposed to be about. So it doesn't matter if you're bringing the green Kool-Aid and I'm bringing the red and you've got cookies and I've got cake. We put it all together and everybody wants to be part of it. Amen. It's really that simple. These two guys, when we, you know, we weren't exactly perfect, you know. I mean, we stumbled and we had arguments and we had conflicts, and we come to my mother, typically. We come to my mother and she'd say, "It takes two. It takes two. I want you to both go away, go back out in grandma's yard and find whatever you can find out there, but I want you to work this out with each other. And when you come back, I want you to tell me the conclusion that you came to. Did you say you're sorry? Yeah, we said it. Yeah, but you don't mean it. Neither one of you are in tears. Go try it for another hour." So we go back out into the, you know, "I don't see any Kleenex on you. What's going on? You don't mean it." She could tell, you know, when she looked at us, and she was smart. She had these big brown eyes, and she would just, whew, the Holy Spirit would just pierce right through you. You'd be like, "Yeah, okay, she's not buying it, you know. She's not buying it. We better go back. Look," and then you apologize to each other, and then we come back. She's like, "Good. Good. Okay. Now you can have a cracker." Saltine crackers with peanut butter. There was no chips and soda in my house growing up. Christmas, New Year's, and Easter, that was when the cousins came up from Syracuse. Then there was snacks, but there was no snacks like that during the week. Okay, so there's Bobby and Lenny. We had one purpose in my family, fishing. Ooh, I'm going the wrong way. Don't go the wrong way. Turn around. Okay, right here. Fishing. Fishing was our deal. That was our one purpose. We caught a lot of fish. There's the young chef with his first fish. Here's the young chef at about age 7 or 8 or so, 19, and I won't give you the year, but we're up there on Grindstone Island on the St. Lawrence River, and we just caught a ton of fish. And doesn't this look like an idyllic background, right? Every weekend on the boat, catching fish in the sun, isn't it great? That's what the outside of the cup looked like. And I was talking with a dear brother, where is he? I was talking with a dear brother a couple of weeks ago, and he said, "Yeah, I've got family too." Inside the cup can often look a lot different. Jesus said the outside of the cup is shiny and it's great, but inside is filled with greed and corruption. Father God, I pray that you would search our hearts this morning. Search us and know us and make us better, Lord. Bring to mind individuals who we need to be healed with. Individuals, relationships, people we haven't talked with in 10 minutes, people that we're sitting next to, people that we haven't talked with in a long time, Lord. Bring these souls to mind, bring their names to our hearts, bring their faces to the, when we close our eyes, that we would see them and not rest until we draw near to you for reconciliation, forgiveness, and then pass it on to them in Jesus' name. Here's my dad and I sitting on top of New York State, highest mountain in the state, Mount Marcy, 5,344 feet, you know, and this man thought that he was on top of the world. He was doing really well in life, and he thought he could do whatever he wanted, so he did, and he sinned, and he messed up, and I didn't forgive him for a long time. David said, you know, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. And it did. And I'm going to share a little bit with you about that. So here's what Dad did. He sinned, and I somehow, you know, I read a verse, and here I am by age 15. See, Dad and I, we kept participating in our feel-good, happy activities. We kept fishing, and the fish, wow, the fish are getting bigger and more numerous, right? So that's really great. That's really great. We're doing all these external things, but inside, there was a huge problem. There was a huge problem because a few years before this picture was taken, my brother died in a car accident. I was 11 years old. He was 10. It was Dad's fault. It was Dad's fault. Not going to go into detail. And I didn't know it, but I was in a state of unforgiveness. I didn't process. I didn't even grieve about my brother's death for a whole 10 years, not until I was 21 years old. Didn't grieve about it. Kept silent about we didn't draw near. Oh, we went to church. Oh, yeah, we kept going. We just kept going through all the motions and putting up a good front and whistling through the graveyard, not dealing with it, not dealing with each other, and shoving it under the rug. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. And so eventually, that catches up to you. You know, a friend of mine who's a nutritionist said, you can't outrun junk. And in those years where I was in a state of unforgiveness with my dad, I didn't know what was going on inside of me. Didn't know what was happening inside of me. But what started to happen is I just preferred running. And I ran and I ran and I ran. Yep, Forrest Gump. I ran far and I ran fast. I ran 30 miles a week, and I used to pretend that the hounds of hell were chasing me. They actually were. They actually were. All those things I made agreement with unknowingly, all those things that I was participating in, they were chasing me down. And I kept running faster and faster and farther, and I didn't have any peace. I didn't feel good. And a friend of mine said, you can't outrun junk. You can't. When you eat wrong, when you blow it in the food department, you eat junk, you can't outrun junk. You need a reset. We just did a reset study, and it was important. So I only picked up half of a verse here. Jesus said, whoever's, and we're going to get to the rest of the verse in a minute, but I'm going to tell you what I started with was, whoever sins you forgive are forgiven, and whoever sins you retain are retained. And I thought, great, as a believer, that's my choice. I'm going to retain his sins because he deserves it. He hurt me. He hurt my mother. He killed my brother. You know, so my brother's gone, etc. So I was angry, yeah. And I was in this state of unforgiveness because I missed the first part of the verse. And it wasn't until years later that God brought it to my attention. Yeah. Jesus, therefore, whenever Jesus says therefore, whenever the scripture says therefore, please go and look up the previous verse, the previous chapter, and go ahead and read the next one too. At least bracket that in with what happened before and what he's saying now and what happens after. You know, it's not going to hurt us to read that extra chapter. Jesus therefore said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. So you've got something to do. You've got one passion, one purpose. I'm sending you. This isn't just about you, you know, getting through life in one piece. It's not about us getting through life in one piece. It's about us getting through life with his peace so that we can hand it out and so that many will be saved. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. It's his breath in our lungs. And he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they've been retained. What's the first word that I have underlined on this slide? Peace. The goal is peace. So there's a choice there, but which one are you going to make? Which choice will we make today, to forgive or to retain? I'm thinking the forgive. I know that the forgiveness is what produces peace. The retention does not. And here's what the tension produced in my life through the habits and things that I pursued: leukemia. About 15 years ago, I'm thinking, I'm not talking to my dad for 10 years. I'm not forgiving him. I'm holding it against him. And I'm thinking, that's my choice, and I'm going to make it. Well, guess what happened? The marathon trail runner moved to, you know, his vacation town, Clayton, New York, and started hanging out with the boys. smoking cigarettes, drinking beer, staying up till 5:30 in the morning. And I went for a routine checkup, you know, 4 or 5 years later. This is about 15 years ago. I went for a routine checkup, and they said, whoa, the doctor, my regular, you know, primary care doctor says, yeah, glad you came in for a checkup because your white count is like 90,000. I said, well, I'm a smoker. You know, it's going to be high. She said, not that high. You better get yourself to Syracuse. So there I go, trotting off to Syracuse every couple of weeks. PET scan, and all the acronyms, all the PMIT, whatever, TMI, you know, all these things. And I'm just like in disbelief. I'm like, no, these are just numbers. I feel fine. I have no symptoms. My Russian oncologist says, no, you're in bad shape. Your white count is high. He showed me the pictures. I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. So I'm driving back and forth. Cost me like $8,000, you know. So I'm watching my savings evaporate. My life is not going well. Not forgiving Dad. See, I'm keeping silent about my sin, and now it's right in front of me. My body is wasting away. But I feel great. I've got no symptoms. One of the symptoms, I did have some symptoms. I had swelling under here, swollen lymph nodes everywhere. I was like ballooning up. And I just got tired of driving to Syracuse and spending money every day. And I was right up here at a place called Seven Bridges. Anybody know where that is? Seven Bridges, Perch River. I was working in Watertown, and I'm commuting. And I go down in the dip there, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart, and I just wept. I pulled over into that little rest area, and I just wept. I laid hands on myself, and I said, dear God, you know, if you want me to have this, okay, I accept it, Lord. But if not, please take it away. I'm tired of this. I don't want it. You know, I rebuked the devourer, and I just said, that's it. I'm done. And I went, and I took the test, and I came back, and it was like 3 weeks later. And this is a funny story. My Russian oncologist, she's flipping through the papers like this. She's looking at me. Mr. Mitchell, Leonard Mitchell. Yes, that's me. She's looking through here. She's puzzled. She doesn't know what's going on. And she said, are you cheating on me? I said, no, ma'am. I've never done that. And I'm never going to. No, ma'am. I said, why do you ask? She says, did you receive treatment from another oncologist? I said, no, ma'am, absolutely not. I said, I came straight here. I said, why? She said, your white count is normal. I said, what was it? She said, it was 90,000. I said, what is it now? She said, 5,000. Your white count is normal. She says, so we're going to do chemo anyway. I said, no, you're not. I called Roswell Park. I told him the whole story, you know, and when the test came back, the report was clear. I have a little bit of a biology background in college, so I read every word of the report, and in more than one place, it said no significant abnormalities are present. Chronic leukocytic leukemia, small thing for God. If we have kept silent, if you are keeping silent, if we are keeping silent about anything like that that's going on, if God brings a person to your mind, unforgiveness will waste you away. So here's what happened with Dad. So finally, this was causing a lot of issues, right? So what happened is I finally got on the phone with him after 10 years. I got on the phone with Dad, and he said, here's another healing for you. I got on the phone with Dad, and he said, he didn't recognize me at first, and I had to repeat my name to him several times because he was not well. You know, what about the 10 years? You got missing 10 years. You know, so that's great. Like, I experienced forgiveness. I repented. I stopped, not forgiving him. And I got on the phone with him, and he said, don't say another word. He said, please forgive me for every terrible thing I ever did to you and to your mother. Now, thank God I wasn't physically harmed. All of the emotional abuse, hearing and seeing the things I did, which God has cleansed, hallelujah, a lot of it right here. The altar's open. There's a lot that happens here. Amen. It's important. Amen. It's important that we act on what God is prompting us to act on. Amen. It's critical that we don't walk out of this building today not changed. I don't come to this building to end up the same way that I walked in. I walk into this building so that when I walk out, I'm changed. I mean, there's a lot that happens at the airport. You bring in your baggage, you leave it here. Bring in your baggage, leave it here. The foot of the cross. Colossians 1, God says that he has he's created, all things are created by him and for him, and he's reconciled everyone to him through the blood of his cross. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it is finished. And I want unforgiveness to be finished in your life and in mine forever and ever. In Jesus' name. So, Dad and I got healed up. Isn't that great? We got healed up. We're talking with each other. I found his boat. I spent a lot of money on it. I got it fixed up. And, you know, when I found my fishing equipment on the boat, that was another moment of repentance to realize, like, what his life had become without me in it for 10 years. You know, we've got all these blessings that God wants to pour out on us. There's things that, and it's real, and it's true, and it's powerful. But it's not just about us. It's not just about being healed here, and it's not about, what about, God says, in quotes, you'll see it on a slide here in a minute, this is him talking, what about the other person? What's happening to the other person while you're not talking to them for 10 minutes or 10 days or 10 weeks or 10 years? What's happening to the other person? You're holding these things against them in the spiritual realm. I was doing something on earth that was causing things to happen in the unseen realm, in the heavenly unseen realm. I was inviting things in his life too. God says, you're powerful like that. I gave you the Holy Spirit for a reason. I gave you the power of my resurrection. He overcame the power of sin and death and burial and then resurrection. Next weekend, baptism, identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't get one without the other. We can't just go after the power of the resurrection. I'm good. God takes care of the things that we need to suffer through, and then he raises us up so that others, it's about the other person. What about the 10 years? We talked about that. God wants to rebuke the devourer for you, restore your lost years, and redeem ancestral blessings. So the devourer gets rebuked. That's good. That's it. The consumption of my thoughts, my emotions. Boy, it was a lot of work. It's a lot of work to hold something against someone. Nope, not going to talk to them. I knew the phone number by heart. It took 10 years. And when I got on the phone, I didn't have to look up the number. I knew it because I thought about it. Every birthday of his, 10 birthdays, 10 Christmases, 10 New Year's Eve, all those family phone calls didn't happen. Rebuke the devourer. Stop. You're going to stop eating in Jesus' name. You're going to stop. Get behind me. I'm not going to cast a railing judgment against you. I'm just going to say the Lord rebuke you. It's that simple. That's how small he is. He only has that thing only has the power that we give him. Don't give him any. Joel 2:25, restore your lost years. God is able to restore the lost years. And it says that the swarming locusts have eaten. Like, there's a nice word picture. Picture that in your backyard. You look and it's a beautiful May or June day and the leaves have just come out. And you wake up the next morning and you're looking at bare branches. So I can choose to, like, have that and be spiritually impoverished and do all the work and energy that it requires to not forgive someone. But here's the thing. Ancestral curses. Well, that's just the way we do things in our family. It's always been like that for years and years and years. It's just how it happens. You know, our love language is we're going to poke fun at you and we're going to jib and jab at you verbally and mentally. We're going to play tricks on you. And I knew a couple of families like that. I'm like, no, thanks. Goodbye. No, not going to do that. Okay. So there's ancestral curses and we talk about this seriously and we're focused on, like, you know, getting free from these things and getting clean from these things. But guess what God wants to do? He wants to release the ancestral blessings that have always been in your family. And that's your real opportunity. We talk about original sin in the garden. What about original glory? What about the garden before Adam and Eve? We are not defined by our past. We are defined by the blessings that God wants to release upon our lives today. Please come forward for that. Absolutely. Absolutely. You're going to say, I don't want what's in the past. Lord, I want the blessings that you've always intended for me for such a time as this right now. Because do you know that there's people in your life right now sitting next to you, sitting across the room, in your family, your marriage, your coworkers, your neighbors, and even people you've known for 5 minutes in a grocery store or in a restaurant or at a counter. That's, you know, God doesn't call us like, oh, just go over here every Sunday and hide. We're out there. He's got us out there for a reason. There's people that he wants to reach, and he can only reach them through us. And he only does this. He only accomplishes his grace and his salvation, healing, and deliverance through each other. It's each other. It's this thing called a relationship that he gets all of his work done. He demonstrated as he walked the earth. He's God. He could have walked around and done everything that he did without all 12 disciples. But what did he do? He went out and found 12 people. People like you and me. So there's some homework for you. The verses are there. Look it up. I would recommend a study on these three verses. Something to do. I release you from News Junkie. I release you from Netflix. And I release you from Amazon Prime. Look into God's Word, Psalm 121. You know, I lift my eyes. I'm going to look to Him because He never slumbers. He never sleeps. You know, He keeps my foot from slipping. He protects my soul. He keeps us from evil. Don't go near the edge. Don't even go over there. Certain areas in the yard my mother mentioned. All right? Here we go. If you're presenting your offering at the altar, not for healing, support, encouragement, and prayer, but if we're just going through the religious motions, I went and did it. I appeased it. I took care of it. I was guilty. I made atonement. No. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He paid the price once and for all. You know, he's our high priest. You know, he's the only one. He's done it. He stands at the throne of God interceding for us day and night. The accuser accuses us day and night, and he's very tiny compared to Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who stands there and intercedes for us with groanings that are too deep for words. Constantly, he doesn't sleep. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't need rest. He wants us to have rest, so he never rests. He's the one that's pacing the floor in the middle of the night. He's not home yet. He's not home yet. Right now, within the sound of my voice, there's some of you that please come home. Come home to Jesus. He's waiting with open arms. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's never left. He's not going to force you, but he says, come home. Come home now. Let it go. Let it go. Let the other person go. Let it go. This is you and me now. I love you. I care about you. I died for you. And I'm not going to force you. I stand at the door and knock. Open the door and come home. If you feel heavy, you feel a heavy weight on you. You feel a heavy burden. You feel like it's just too much. Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you rest. There's 7 people online. This morning, while we were praying, someone prayed for freedom and release, and my hands clapped. That's been happening lately. 7. There's 7 people online right now. Jesus says, come home. Jesus says, I know it hurts. He was on the cross. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane while his disciples were sleeping. Yep, I used to say, oh, I don't want Peter. I don't want to be one of those guys. I don't want to be one of the ones who's sleeping. I'm not going to be the one who's sleeping. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get a little more honest with yourself and you realize, yes, I don't want to be in the group that was sleeping while Jesus was suffering, you know, blood, sweat, and tears with this decision to go to the cross. I wouldn't have decided to go to the cross. I would have been sleeping, you know. I mean, a few self-righteous years ago, like, no, I'm not the one sleeping, you know. Remember Peter? Oh, I'll build a temple, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And Jesus says, well, number one, something greater than the temple is here. How much freedom is there in that statement? And number two, I didn't ask you to do that. What I do ask you to do is love me with your whole heart and love each other, love other people. That's what I ask you to do. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. It's not for your own personal interest, for the interests of others. It's about the other person. So if you can't choose forgiveness for yourself, and you want to go through being spiritually bankrupt, diseases, hurts, illnesses, all the work that it takes to be in a state of unforgiveness with other human beings, if you choose to do that, and if you just decide that you're going to do that, what about the other person that you love? What about my fishing buddy? What about my little brother? What about my dad? He's still my dad. He messed up big time, but he's still my dad. I didn't get to go fishing with him for 10 years. That's our family. That's our love language. Let's go fishing together. I didn't get to do that for 10 years. He didn't get to do that for 10 years. And when I was younger, I thought, big deal. What's 10 years? He deserves it. Well, it took me 10 years to grieve about my brother. Then it was 10 years of unforgiveness towards my dad. Then it was 10 years of partying and trying to heal all the pain that I was in. And then there was a few years of the leukemia there. So if you add that up, that's like, yep, you can do the math. It's half my life. I spent half my life not forgiving someone. As a dear friend of mine says, not cool. Not cool. Selfishness, empty conceit, en league with some very bad people, en league with some very bad things, having this attitude in myself, which is in Christ Jesus. And although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. I thought, you know, and here's the thing, it's subtle. The deceiver is subtle, tricky, you know? In your own head, it's like, you know, of course I'm not equal to God. Of course not. Of course not. Father God says, vengeance is mine. And when Dad said something is his, don't go through that door. Don't go through that door. Don't touch that. That's mine. And when he says it's mine, and we try to pick it up and say, no, I'm going to try it out because I'm yours. I'm with you, right? That's a very slippery slope right there. It's a very slippery slope. And we're making agreement with this thing that got kicked out of heaven, cast down from heaven like lightning, Satan falling from heaven like lightning, got kicked out of heaven for that reason. Because he said, I want to be God. I don't want any part of him or anything he has to offer. We make no agreement in the name of Jesus Christ. We make no agreement with Satan, his emissaries. He is our enemy. He's trying to kill us. And we are with the one who brings us life and brings us life more abundantly, eternal life. Now, for some reason, in the last 24 hours, the word water has come to mind. Pastor Cheryl prayed it last night before the service. The Josh mentioned the backdrop on the screens here is all water. And then last night when I got home, so I commute now. So basically the home here is like camp. It's great, right? So 2:30 in the morning, there's the dog's water bowl. You know, wham, stepped right in it. There's water all over the floor. I realize it's dry in the house. I go to pick up the humidifier, and I pick up the humidifier. And again, it's like 3 or 4 in the morning, and I'm soaking wet with water from the humidifier. And God says, do you get it yet? I say, yes, Lord. John chapter 4, the woman at the well, Jesus says, you know, if you drink the water that I'm offering you, ladies and gentlemen, people within the sound of my voice online, if you drink the water, the living water of Jesus Christ that he's offering, you'll never be thirsty again. And from you will flow rivers of living water and eternal life. Who wants life? Who wants eternal life? Who wants living water? Who wants to never be thirsty again? I'm thirsty right now. He did it on purpose. There's water here, but I'm not going to drink it because he's got things he wants to say to you. Okay, what about the other person? Interests of others. I know it hurts. Am I going the right way? No? Well, that's good. You get a lot of back and forth here. We talked about Colossians 1. He has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Let's talk about that for a second. Beyond reproach means, like being reconciled is an accounting term. It means there's a zero balance. So when Jesus died for us on the cross and stretched out his arms, he cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. And another verse says, from the deepest depth of the deepest ocean to the highest heaven. Like it's beyond human comprehension how far he forgives us. And we're not going to extend that mercy to someone else? What about the king that forgave the slave of all the debts? Forgave him of all the debts. The verse is in here. I'm not going back. Forgave him of all the debts and said, you're clean, you're forgiven, you're good to go, you've got a zero balance, you're free, you're free. Open up the prison door and set the captive free. Let him out. What did the guy do? Does anybody remember the story? The guy went and punished everybody that owed him money and beat them down. Jesus said, I showed you mercy, you should have shown it to him. Because when the king found out about that, he was released to the tormentors. I was tormented. My body wasted away. God, in his grace, healed me, and he wants to heal you today. Jesus says, greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friends. He loved us first. That's what he did for us. He laid down his life for us. And he's willing to call us his friends. He says, I'll call you my friends if you do what I command you. What does he command us to do? Love him and love other people. Other people, them, that dress differently than we do, that talk differently than we do, they live over there. James and John said, Lord, they're doing everything differently. Should we just cast down fire? Should we cast down fire and destroy them? Can you imagine what Jesus says, you don't know what kind of spirit you are of. I'm going to call you the sons of thunder. And he didn't mean it in a good way, but here's what God pointed out to me earlier today, early this morning. James and John were still his disciples. They were still there at the crucifixion, and he still appeared to them after the resurrection. After the resurrection, I want to ask you two questions this morning. These are really important questions. Number one, do you believe that God made you? How we answer that determines everything else in our life. He made all things. All things were made by him and for him. We were made to worship him. We were made to serve him, not as slaves, but as sons and daughters. Do you believe that God made you? One. Two, do you believe that Jesus Christ physically walked out of the grave, folded up the linen wrappings, and appeared to many witnesses? It actually happened. I know, and many of you know that you know that you know. There's my Baptist background, but it's true. I know that it happened. I can't explain to you. I could give you a lot more examples other than the 35 minutes I've been allotted this morning. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And what he's commanding you to do right here, this I command you, that you love one another. We all know how to do that. We all know how to take care of our own. There's things we do in our families that are loving. It's our love language, what we always do. God's asking, there are no strangers to Jesus. I want to be real careful about something right now, and that's if you are in an abusive relationship or a life-threatening situation, get help immediately. Get professional help immediately. Don't stay in that relationship. Don't not take action about that, because I'm saying you have to be reconciled, okay? This morning's message is focused on all those things that lead up to that, so you don't have to go through what I went through when I was a kid. That's all I'm trying to share with you this morning. I don't want you to go through what I went through, what I learned the hard way. It's my whole life. I'm writing a book right now for young chefs so that they don't have to learn what I learned the hard way in the kitchen by acting like, Gordon Ramsay. I used to make Gordon Ramsay look like Bob Ross. okay? That's how I was in the kitchen, and it was terrible. It was terrible, and people would, like, I would hire them, and they would leave, and I couldn't figure out why. Finally got it. God finally got through to me. This I command you, that you love one another. So would you please rise to your feet, and would you agree with me in prayer? A sister prayed this 2 months ago, and it stuck with me, and it's the basis for this sermon. It's a message that started 2 months ago from a sister right over there in a Thursday night prayer meeting. Repeat after me. Together, we hereby bind division and release unity. Together, we hereby bind hatred and release love. Again, we bind division and we release unity. Together, we hereby bind hatred and we release love in the name of the only one who's ever loved us first, poured out his blood on the cross, rose again from the dead so that we can love one another. Thank you, Father God, for making a way. I want to pray for those of you who have never said yes to Jesus. You have never said yes to Jesus. Online, in this room, I don't care where you are, if you've never said yes to him, today's your day. Today's your chance to make it right, to be reconciled with him and allow him to start healing your life so that you can be a blessing, releasing you from that weight that you're under. Jesus says, come. Come to the altar. Sit in your chair. Pray. I don't care how it happens. You don't have to say special words. But in your heart, if you're in that spot right now, please pay attention and please take action. I also want to invite... Here, this is Holy Spirit again. I have to write it down. Those of you that know him, you've known him since you were small. You've known him, but you feel like you're away. You feel like, I'm not in touch. There's been a separation. I need a breakthrough. I feel like if we feel far away from God, he's not the one that moved. I want to make sure that no one is neglected here in this opportunity. And then, if you have fresh revelation, when you close your eyes right now, if there's a person who comes to mind, person's name, person's face, can't stop thinking about them, would you reach out to them? Would you reach out to them today? In Jesus' name, amen.